back to Thick and Thin with me, Katie Bilotti. And I know I said I was going to put out this episode on like Tuesday on Instagram, and now it's Friday. And I'm not recording it because I had a crazy week. A lot happened this week, and the podcast just got slowly pushed to the back burner, which is very sad because ideally I'd love for this to be top of mind every day. But as we know, my style is kind of based on my experiences. I talk about them, and although I've gone back and forth for a very long time about what I want my podcast to be like, I've decided that I think my thing is just living my life, doing what I do, and then just talking to you guys about my experiences and the takeaways, things I've learned, and occasionally throwing in some historical stuff, because we all know I love that stuff. So anyway, today's episode is no exception from what typically happens on here. I'm just gonna kind of let it rip. I don't like using that phrase, but like, let it roll. Maybe that's better. I don't really know. I'm going to talk and you guys are going to listen, and that's going to be lovely. I have a lot to share. I have this app called the Pattern app. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. If you haven't, definitely download it. My boss at L'Oreal, my most recent boss, was the person that introduced me to the app. And ever since, I've seen so many people posting it on their stories. I think it's really kind of taking over the world, this app, because it's kind of spooky. The Scorpio in me loves it because it's super spot on to what you're going through. It like analyzes your, I think it's like your rising, your moon sign and all that stuff. Like you enter a lot of information, and then from there they give you like a very pinpointed diagnosis of like what's going on inside of you based on the elements, based on just the, you know, the rising and fall of the zodiac. I don't even know, guys. I'm word vomiting right now. Something spiritual. But for whatever reason, it always hits the nail right on the head with me. Sometimes it like kind of misses the mark a little bit, but like for the most part, it's usually extremely spot on, which is kind of terrifying. So this past week, my Pattern app said, I wrote this down in my journal so I could read it to you guys. This is a tremendous time frame to share, express, or contribute what you have learned so far this month. So, here we go. I'm going to share what I've learned so far this month. And I was kind of looking back on it because it's already kind of been a significant chunk of the month. I've been doing Vlogmas, as you guys know, so I've been vlogging every day. And truthfully, the time has been flying. It's already halfway through December. We're so close to 2020. I can already kind of taste it. It's like really here. So, I mean, I feel like this is saying like the past month, but I feel like it's been kind of like, you know, a little over a month that I've been feeling certain feelings that I'm going to unpack tonight. I'm trying to also remember what I talked about last week and the week prior. I know two episodes ago, I actually posted an episode called I Like Him. And you guys are always asking me updates on my love life. Like a lot of you guys were like, whatever happened to that guy you talked about way back that chased you down on the street by Equinox, like on your way to the gym? Well, long story short with that one, so he was like a doctor or whatever he was. I forget exactly. He was like something medical. And he actually, so he went out of town for like a surgery situation. I don't really know. Something very, again, it's like Grey's Anatomy. That's all I really can compare it to. But he was like out of town. And then when he came back, I was like, of course, what I do. You guys know I did some research. And after I researched him a little bit, I was like, this guy is actually like 35 years old, maybe older than that. And so I was like, he's a little bit old for me. And so I was, because he had my number and I didn't have his. So I was waiting for him to text me basically, or like call me or something. And he did. And I, you know, once he finally did, I was like, I'm just, you know, oh, actually, to be honest with you, I waited a few days to respond because I didn't know how to say, like, you're too old for me, basically. I didn't even want to, like, get his hopes up because, like, I'm 24, he's, like, 36 or something. That's just too big of a gap for me, but I wanted to be honest with him. So, basically, I, like, waited a few days and I was, like, gonna respond to him. And then he found me on LinkedIn, guys, because he thought he had the wrong number. So, he found me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn messaged me and was like, hi, blah, 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 and, like, just the demeanor of his message and also just the fact that he's like 37. I keep upping the age, like in his like mid to late 30s. I was like, oh God, this is just too much. So I ended up responding to him on LinkedIn saying, I'm sorry, I just don't think this is going to work out. Like whatever, we're at different points in our lives, whatever that like generic thing is. Anyway, so that was the end of that chapter. I forgot to tell you guys about that. Or maybe I don't think I did. I kind of lose track of what I say on these episodes. But anyway, for those of you who are curious, that's how that went. But it was very flattering, and I told him that, and it was very, obviously, a great New York City story, so yeah. But then two episodes ago, as you know, I posted the I Like Him episode about this one particular person who I'm no longer seeing, actually, basically, it's nothing like crazy. It's just like, I mean, I don't want to like disclose way too much because of his privacy. Okay. All right. Holiday cheer. But basically his job's just very demanding. And so it just wasn't going to work. Like he was only reaching out to me at like very late hours of the night. And most of the time it was just like, you know, it just wasn't going to be a relationship where we were going to go on dates and I was going to feel special. Like it was really for one thing, not against him at all. He just doesn't have time to date. And that's understandable for, I guess, you know, where he is right now. And we're just in different places. I feel like I just have to know when I'm in a different place than someone else and I shouldn't settle for the things that, you know, someone else settles for just because they're in a different point of their lives, you know? So anyway, that's kind of, you know, I don't want to say out with the old, that's like not the right phrase to use here. Basically just on to the next situation. So that kind of fizzled out last week. And I mean, funny enough, like he actually booty called me last night, but we're just gonna pretend that didn't happen. Anyway, so 2 days ago, I went on the most spectacular date I've ever been on in New York City history of me being here, my life here. And there's a lot of things I could say about just why it was such a great date, but at the end of the day, like SparkNotes version, we just get each other. We really clicked. Like there's certain dates where you can't really like pinpoint exactly what was so great about it, except for that you guys were just on the same wavelength. There wasn't any awkward silences. Like I feel like first dates are always a little bit awkward, but you know, aside from just like the normal awkwardness that happens during first dates of like with, I don't know, I feel like there's always something with the waitress or something. Like someone asks, you know what I mean? Like normal restaurant etiquette is just like very, it's difficult on first dates when, you know, the waitress like can't tell if it's a date. So she's like, oh gosh, like who do I give the check to? You know what I mean? It's like situations like that. But other than that, it was really great. I mean, funny enough, yeah, I mean, he ordered a martini. Like there, guys, there's just like so many little things. Actually, he ordered a martini because I ordered a martini first and he was like, I'll have what you're having. Also, I mean, I picked the place that we went to. I wish you guys could see me right now because I'm like grinning. I'm so happy about this date. And again, I'm trying to keep myself level and know what I want, but like nonetheless, freaking great date. So he walks in and I was already there because I picked the place and it's a place that's normally very busy and they don't take reservations. So I was really nervous that because he'd never been there and I was like, okay, I want him to have a good first impression of this place that I picked, obviously, you know, so I go early. And luckily his train was like, he took the subway and his train was down. So he took a little longer and I was like, yes, perfect. I'll have plenty of time to make sure we get a table. So I get there and classically, like it's completely full. It's like happy hour. There's a party or something. It's like a nightmare. My stomach sinks. I'm like, oh no, this is going to be a nightmare. And then luckily I like go to the hostess stand. I'm like, hi, table for two for drinks. And I'm like, how long is the wait going to be? She's like 50 minutes. And I was like 15. She's like, no, 50, 50. I'm like, oh my God. I think she saw the look on my face and I go, and I she like made a face and I was like, I'm on a first date. Like I picked this place and I'm really nervous. Like it's starting in like a half an hour. Like, do you think? And she's like, let me see what I can do. Like literally the manager comes out or he's like there, he's like around and he's like, oh, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. He literally materialized a table out of nowhere. I don't know where, like, I don't know what happened. I just know he said like, come back in 10 minutes. Like, it's gonna be fine. So I just go out for a walk, like calming my nerves. It's like cold outside, but it's like good. I like walked around a little bit on the street. Like I felt like such an idiot just like walking around waiting for this date to happen, whatever. Then I get like a text because they said they'd text me, you know, the typical like restaurant text. And so I go back and a table materialized. It's like a perfect little, in a little nook, like a very romantic setup, like with the candle and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, like 'tis the season, right? Like people are so nice sometimes in New York. I feel like New York gets a really bad rap for being just like a mean place, but if you're honest with people and are patient with people, like things will materialize. So anyway, I obviously am there early, so I sit down and I get a very stiff martini because I was, as I've said a million times already, I was nervous. I was nervous because I'm just like, or maybe not nervous, I was just like anxious kind of, or maybe it was just like a blend of many emotions because I'm just so sick of like putting myself out there so many times for it just not to work. I'm like, I know you're supposed to like just wait around and eventually it'll happen, but like, come on, like I'm still gonna try. So funny enough, actually we met on Hinge, but he has his roommate or his like best friend slash roommate is a friend of mine, acquaintance slash like we haven't seen each other in a long time. since high school. So he went to high school in my area, and I knew him because he was hooking up with one of my friends in high school. And so, yeah, so I know him, and so we both know this one guy, basically, mutual friend. So that is why he messaged me on Hinge. He said, he's like, I don't really, like, do Hinge, but I saw you, and I showed my roommate, and he was like, oh, like, I know this girl, she's very cool, whatever. So he gave me a good little, good review, so he went on the date. So we're on the date, everything is just, like I said, flowing extremely well, and I don't know, I just feel like we both kind of get each other. You know, there's just certain similarities between us that I feel like we have a sense of humor, but we're also very like driven, I feel like, in different ways. Like we also both have hobbies, which I think is hard for a guy to have a hobby. He plays a musical instrument. I don't want to like give too much information just in case. I don't know. I'm like actually nervous he's going to listen to this because I want this to like go well. I feel like some relationships or some like flirtationships, I'm just like so open to talk about because I know it's going to fizzle out and be done. But like this, I think is actually maybe something. But I always say that. So you guys are just going to keep listening to these episodes of me talking about how I think something's going to work out. And then, you know, eventually it will. And it'll just be a nice little success story, right? So anyway, that is what I did a few days ago. I was actually going to podcast that night. And then, of course, I got home super late from this date. We were there until like 2 a.m. So naturally, I didn't get to podcast. But I did get a good night kiss, which was lovely. So anyway, that is the date situation. I'm trying to see what else. I wrote down some stuff in my journal. I wrote. So basically, I told you guys we ended the date at like 2, but basically the bar like closed at a certain time. So, and we didn't want to like stop the date, of course. And it was freezing outside. And so, I'm like, oh, I live around the corner. Do you just want to go to my apartment? Do you want to go back to my place? And I was like, in my head, I'm like, Katie, be cool about this. Like, be cool. It's a first date, nothing crazy. So we go back to my apartment and it was so nice. We just like sat on my couch. I made another martini for us. Like, I was not feeling, my head hurt the next day. I should say that. Made another little martini because I have all my supplies here. So I made a couple martinis. We sit on my couch. I put a record on and he like lost his shit because I put on the Peanuts, you know, like the Christmas record. And he's like, oh my God, I listen to this at home all the time. This reminds me of being home, like blah, blah. I was like, yep, okay, that's a good one. All my friends made fun of me for getting that record. And now it's working out in my favor. So we're just sitting there talking. And actually at one point I turned my back to like shake. I don't know. I was doing something with the martinis and I hear a crash and like my vase was just on the floor. It wasn't shattered, but all my flowers were like everywhere. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, like, you know, profusely apologizing. And I was like, it's okay, don't worry about it, like whatever, as long as in my head I was like, as long as the vase isn't broken, I don't care. So and he's just like trying to pick it up. He like goes and gets more water for it. Was like super concerned about this vase falling, and he put the flowers back in there differently than how I had put them in. But I didn't really know that at the time. I just like figured, I was like, okay, this is awkward, I'm gonna pretend like that didn't happen. And we both kind of pretended like it didn't happen, you know. And I actually stopped, I was like cleaning today or just doing something in my apartment. I haven't like had a second to like really look at my flowers recently. So I had a second to just like stand there and look at them for a second today. And I was like, wow, I like how he put them back in better than how I had originally put them in. And I was like, is this poetic? Is this like symbolic that, you know, I need someone else to show me that there's other ways to look at the world? Like, maybe that's it. Like, because our conversation, as much as we were on the same wavelength, I feel like he also kind of not like challenged me, but the ways he was talking about things and the way he was like, it did kind of challenge me a little bit. I was like, wow, that is a different way of looking at things, or that is a different idea or something. And I feel like every other date I've ever been on, it's always kind of like a power struggle between like, you know, or just waiting to say something cool about yourself, or I don't know. And with him, it was like, I'd known him for a really long time. I always think of that one phrase or that one song lyric. It's like, have I known you 20 years or 20 minutes or 20 seconds? 20 seconds or 20 years. That's it. Taylor Swift. So yeah, I wrote that down in my journal because I thought that was like just interesting little tidbit. So how was that for a story? I was not anticipating telling you guys at such great length about my date, but I thought that it was a really good one. I think he thinks so too. We're gonna have another one. So that's usually a good sign of a first date, or good first date. So yeah, I think that was a pretty good story. What do you think? Like a little anecdote there, because I think there's a lack of storytelling in our world because things are so fast paced now. Things are so quick. People want short and sweet and they don't really tell stories anymore. So I thought that was a little good segment. And I actually thought of this today. This just popped back in my head. The fact that we see more stories than we hear. Isn't that funny? Like, we don't really, like, hear stories anymore. We see them. We read them. We look at Instagram stories. Instagram stories is the new storytelling, okay? Which I think is great, especially when you're multitasking or you're at work or you're out and about and you can, like, see a whole story, see someone's day-to-day, really, like, feel engrossed in something while you're doing other things. Don't get me wrong, that's amazing. And not that you're not multitasking right now listening to me talk, but I think that just hearing a story, hearing it unfold, hearing kind of the stuttering, the natural progression of storytelling is so important. So yeah, I read that today, or I thought of it today, and I wrote it down in my journal, and now I'm reading it to you guys. That concept of that we see more stories than we hear. I was texting a client, a freelance client, and I was like, oh, like something stories, thinking about Instagram stories. And it's just so funny because I remember a time where Instagram stories and Snapchat stories didn't exist. I also remember when Instagram stories was a thing, became a thing. And I was like, oh, I'm never going to betray Snapchat. I love my Snapchat stories. Like, I'm never going to betray Snapchat by going on Instagram stories. No one even uses Instagram stories. There was a time where not many people used Instagram stories because people didn't get that it, like, pops up at the top. So I think that it's kind of interesting how things have progressed. I wonder if Facebook stories will ever be a thing. I feel like no. I feel like we have enough stories now. They need to, like, do something new. But that's just my take on that. So I want to take a quick break to introduce one of tonight's sponsors. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Wantable, which is a personal styling service that basically sends you on-trend clothing in a style or a fitness edit. So an edit is 7 pieces of hand-picked clothing from a variety of really amazing brands. So when I first heard of this, I was like, that's incredible. I don't really have trouble with my day-to-day outfits, but when it comes to workout outfits, like, I never know what to pair. I always just end up wearing all black because I don't know what to wear and what would look good on my body type. So with Wantable, it's super easy because all I did was take a really quick quiz that kind of caters everything to just my body type, what I typically wear, what I don't feel comfortable in, etc. And so from there, they're going to use my results and pick out a bunch of clothes for me, 7 different pieces, and send them to me. And I won't have to worry. They're all going to go together. It's going to be super easy for me to just throw them on and go work out. Because I think half the battle in working out is making sure you have a good outfit on that not only looks kind of cute, but also won't slide all over the place when you're running or doing exercises, etc. So like I said, you just take a style or fitness quiz to get started, and one of their in-house stylists, which is so cool, gets to know your closet, your lifestyle, your sizing, and the unique preferences that you have, so they can outfit you for anything and everything. And so you get 5 days to try on everything at home, which is great, and decide what you want to buy or what you want to send back. And basically all it involves is a $20 styling fee. And this is great for me because, you know, as I'm working from home a lot lately, I don't have time to go out and try on a ton of stuff. And I also like trying on things in the comfort of my own home and not in a dressing room, so it's very convenient. And also, it's just super easy to use. You can choose how often you want to receive your edits. You can refresh your look monthly or seasonally, whatever makes sense for you. And shipping, returns, and exchanges are all free. So my stylist is putting together a little edit for me as we speak. I filled out the quiz a few days ago, and I'm so excited to receive everything. I'll let you guys know what I think about it when I receive it. But yes, Wantable is going to help me out. Let them help you too in taking the challenge out of finding the right clothes for you to wear every day. And basically, all you have to do is go to wantable.com/KATY Katie for $25 off of your first edit. That's WANTABLE.com/Katie. That's KATY for $25 off of your first edit. Wantable.com/Katie. And thank you to Wantable for sponsoring this episode. But yeah, I thought I would also give you a little update on my freelancing life and my just changes, because it's been almost, I think, 2 months officially since I put in my notice I was quitting my corporate job. So a lot has changed in my lifestyle. I'm spending a lot more time at home, which is great, but also, of course, has limitations. I feel like I get a little cooped up sometimes and have to go for a walk, you know, and clear my head. And a part of just being a creative person is I need those times, and it's hard for me to budget those times into my day to day. Like, I think I can just go a whole day with, like, creating things for clients, creating my own stuff for YouTube, Instagram, podcasting, and just not leave this chair that I'm sitting in. But I've learned that it's something that I do need to do in order to just survive as a human being. And even today I had a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a meltdown, because it wasn't a full-on meltdown. Like, there weren't, like, full-on tears, but I just got very overwhelmed for a second. I have some moments of, like, pretty, I don't want to say anxiety, because I'm not I don't actually have prescribed anxiety, or is it prescribed? Diagnosed, that's the right word. But I have little anxious moments where I just get super in my head about things and I'm like, I'm a failure. I was producing some stuff for a client that was I was really proud of and it just got some harsh criticism and I just took it super hard and just had a moment where I needed to just like sit in my bed and just like breathe because I was getting super heated. I was like, I just want to tell this client I want to quit. Like, I don't even want to do this anymore because I have some clients that are super easygoing about what I'm creating for them. And then there's this one to two that are a little bit harder in the sense that they just have a lot more edits, which is fine. I'm used to that. Just working a corporate job, I was used to that. But sometimes it just gets super overwhelming and I just get to the point where I get super just negative. Just in like a little funk situation. So I needed to just like lay down and breathe. And the way that I snap myself out of it, which I think is probably useful information for you guys, because I'm sure all of us get in these little funks. I know a few of my friends have gotten emotional at work over certain things, just when things don't go your way, obviously, but then also just when there's just unanticipated criticism, etc. I just sat in my bed, I was breathing, practicing my breathing, and also just reminding myself why I started or where I started, because I think that is so important to just surviving in your given career, is reminding yourself why you started. If you're passionate about your job, which I certainly hope you are, or your major or a number of things you're doing in your life, it's important to remember why you started. And I just was taken back, you know, I'm laying in my bed. I'm seeing this as like a movie scene where there's like a flashback. So I was flashing back to, I think about third or fourth grade was when I realized that I had a certain gift for creativity. And here is how I know this. And I actually like forgot about this. This was like a suppressed memory that I just like didn't remember until recently. I used to, so you know how there was like agenda books when we were kids, little agenda books that we were given by the school, and they were like ugly, to be honest. Mine had like fun facts on each page, or like fun, like historical, like this day in history, whatever. And they were super tacky notebooks that were agenda books where you put your homework and stuff. So I, you know, made a creative solution back in the third grade, and I redid the cover of my journal. I keep calling it a journal. Agenda book. I redid the cover. So I cut out little pictures from magazines, from like Tiger Beat and like all the cheesy magazines I was getting, like Justin Bieber and whatever. And I cut out all these pictures. I cut out like words from the articles that I thought were cool and got different construction paper and basically collaged the front of my agenda book. And I brought it to school the next day and everyone was like, that is so cool. And basically I took like clear packing tape, not even like actual lamination. I took clear packing tape and I covered the front of the notebook or the agenda. I keep calling it a different thing. You get it. With the clear packing tape so it'd be water resistant, because I was nervous that, you know, the paper would get all messed up with my various things in my backpack. And I brought it to school the next day and I was marveling at the response. Everyone was so supportive of my redone agenda that they wanted their own. And they were like, Katie, like, can you make me one? And so slowly but surely, I started just redoing everyone's agenda. And I would ask them for things that they liked, or I would, because I didn't really have a phone back then, I don't even think I had like an email address, so I couldn't really, I would call them on the landline, I'm pretty sure, and or I'd like take notes on what they wanted back. This is just so funny for me to talk about because this is so just what I do now is so similar to that. You know, creating graphics and creating stuff for brands is exactly the same, like in the same grain as what I did in third grade. And I started a business. I charged like 30 cents or something, like, or I think it was 50 cents because I just wanted to save up my quarters, because when the ice cream man came around my neighborhood, he like accepted like multiple quarters and whatever for like, I don't know, an ice cream sandwich or something. So I was like, okay, great. You can pay me 50 cents. And if you can't afford that, you can pay me just a quarter. I even made like a promotional material. I didn't even know that I was creating a business, or I didn't know anything about what I was doing at the time, but I remember making a sheet of options people could choose from, like different colors or different concepts, like celebrities or more just inspirational words. And I remember having this little sheet and I would bring it to recess and, you know, out on the playground be like, what do you want? And I like set up shop and I would create these things. I created them at home, but I would get my clients on the playground. And that was how I started in my creative just mindset of wanting to make beautiful things for people, for other people. And that's where I started in like actually the third grade. And I always forget that this happened and I'm angry that I do. So I'm happy I'm putting it into like something tangible here in this podcast episode, because this was the premature version of what I do now. And that is why I started that. I mean, for a little chunk of it, it was kind of because I wanted the recognition of being cool and making these things. But I also loved seeing them around. I loved seeing people carrying my creations, and I loved just the creative element of making them for people. I thought it was so cool to be able to make something custom for someone else. And I've had a number of, obviously, side hustles, little things I've started and I haven't, you know, followed through with. There's a few things that have kind of fizzled over the years. But for the most part, my spirit and my energy with what I'm doing has been the same since third grade. So you just gotta, when you're getting in a crazy funk of just really down on yourself, really angry. I get really angry. I'm not sad as much as I'm just pissed usually. Whenever you get in those moods, just obviously there's a few general things you do. Drink some water, take a deep breath, go for a walk, but also just remember why you started and remember yourself as a kid. I actually wrote this down on a sheet of paper. Just think back to you as a child. Where did the creative, you know, spirit in you begin? And I said, selling redesigned agenda book covers in the third grade. I'd sell them for 50 cents. I wrote that in my journal. And I wasn't really at the time thinking big picture. I didn't even know where babies came from, yet I was a self-made entrepreneur in third grade. I couldn't play sports. Running the mile was actually my idea of hell, but I could create agenda book covers for people. And so that is what I did. So that's a big takeaway that I've learned just from being a freelancer, being on my own schedule. I need to learn to manage my time better. It's really pushing me to do that because I can't be working into the early hours of the night and waking up super. I need to just balance my life a little bit, which is good because I can actually do that now and make sure I do make time for certain things. So it's very nice. Very happy with my choice still of going the freelance route. But I actually got lunch the other day with my friend Emma, who's also a freelancer. She's extremely talented. If you ever look up esm.creative, yeah, that's her username, Emma. She's amazing. She does graphics for a bunch of podcasts. So if you're thinking of starting a podcast, you should definitely go to her to make your art and your Instagram assets. She does a lot of really amazing packages. And so she's actually been doing freelance a lot longer, well, like probably 8 or 9 months longer than me. So she knows a lot more than I do. She taught me a lot of valuable skills like, you know, booking, making books of all of your expenses and whatnot, and also just submitting invoices, making sure you get paid on time, logging your hours, making contracts, like all these things I never would have thought of because I'm a super creative person. I'm not very analytical. I'm not very good at remembering to do the obvious things to make sure that, like, you know, the pieces fit and whatnot. So it's nice having her in my life. And we got lunch the other day. She was telling me, I was asking her more so like, what are the biggest lessons you've learned, or what are the biggest things you've learned? We were both talking about like the things we've learned while doing this. And she was like, I think the biggest lesson I've learned, the biggest thing that I've had to adopt is I don't have to say yes to everyone. And I have to not only think about whether or not they want to work with me, but I also have to think about, do I want to work with them? And I was like, wow, that is going in the podcast. That is so good because it kind of applies to a lot of things. Even if you're not in freelance, even if you're just living your life, you have to realize you can do a lot of things. You can accomplish a lot of things in a day, but you can't do everything. And so you do have to be picky with things. And when you're being picky, you have to realize that there's going to be some things that you don't feel work with your aesthetic and your vibe. And you have to know that. Not that you can't take on a challenge, but I think it's important to not only think of whether or not they want to work with you, but think about whether or not you want to work with them. And, you know, if we think about this, apply this to like a dating sphere, it's like you could be super wanted by a person. And I think a lot of us get really, really just kind of blinded by that. And we think, oh, they want us so badly. They'd be such a great boyfriend, whatever. But you have to think like, do I want them back? Think critically, you know, do I want them back, or am I just going to waste their time? Are they going to waste my time? Whatever. So I think it's just important to remember that you do have a choice in your life. You have a lot of choices, actually. So I want to take a little break to introduce a sponsor of tonight's episode. Tonight's episode is sponsored by my friends at HelloFresh. You guys know how much I love HelloFresh, which is America's number one meal kit where you can get easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your front door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy, which I do on a almost weekly basis. I love HelloFresh. I love using them. I am just super uninspired in the kitchen. I never know what to make. I never know what I'm in the mood for. store. And so it's nice to have HelloFresh around to tell me kind of what I want, because they have the most amazing recipes. They make cooking delicious meals at home a reality for me, regardless of my very lack of comfort in the kitchen. I have no comfort in the kitchen. I don't know what I'm doing. Their recipes are super step-by-step, very easy instructions on how to make things. I really need it spelled out for me when it comes to making things, anything that's more than, you know, my typical dinner that I make for myself. So it's nice to have HelloFresh's awesome, easy to understand instructions. And you can break out of your dinner rut with their 20 plus seasonal chef curated recipes each week. And there's something for everyone, from family recipes to calorie smart, vegetarian, and there's a bunch of fun menu series as well. So I love HelloFresh. They're also super flexible, so you can add meals to your weekly order or yummy add-ons like garlic bread and cookie dough. And overall, you can just easily change your delivery days and make it catered to your lifestyle, which is super easy and just, you know, which is super easy, and I love them for that. So as we know, you guys can get 9 free meals with HelloFresh by going to HelloFresh.com/HelloKatie9. So that's Hello, HelloFresh.com/HelloKatie9, and using my code HelloKatie9. So you'll get your 9 free meals with that code at that website, HelloFresh.com/HelloKatie9, and you guys can get started with HelloFresh. Happy cooking, and thanks to HelloFresh for sponsoring this episode. And I think sometimes we can get a little bit overwhelmed by how many choices we have. And because there's so many, I mean, because we're very privileged and lucky, a lot of us, to have choice. A lot of people in the world don't have choice. So it's very great to admit that I do have a lot of choices. But in admitting that, there's also the concept that there are so many choices that sometimes we get super overwhelmed and don't make any at all, which happens to me often. I'm like, there's so many different instances of how this applies, but just in terms of getting freelance jobs, there's so many people that reach out to me, and I've learned over the past few months that I can't be such a yes man all the time. That's what landed me in unhappiness at L'Oreal, was just saying yes way too much, saying yes when I wanted to say no. You have to know that there's going to be times where you know you don't want to do it. You know, and I've actually discussed this on the podcast before, you have to recognize whether or not you're saying no out of fear or saying no out of just not wanting to or not thinking you can handle it, and knowing after careful consideration that you can't handle it. I like to do this thing where I take a day and I think about it, because of course we act rashly sometimes when we make very spur of the moment decisions. So sometimes you have to give it a day and think about it, and usually the other party, whether it be in a relationship or in just a freelance or someone that you're working with, or I don't know, a teacher, I don't know, I'm trying to like apply this as many things as possible, I'm like really reaching, just they'll be respectful of your time, of just giving it a day to think about it. Because I think I make very bad decisions when it's like comes down to like I have 10 seconds to make the decision. Usually I make a pretty bad decision, except for when it came to my apartment. Because did I tell you guys a story about this apartment? So for background, if you guys aren't familiar, but I'm sure you kind of are, like it's pretty known or pretty like common knowledge that New York housing is just so stressful for a number of reasons. First of all, it's super expensive, but second of all, it's just very, things go very fast, because there's a lot of people that obviously want to live here and they want to live in the best places for the cheapest amount and whatever. So there's a lot of competition when you're looking at an apartment. You kind of have to know in the back of your mind that 10 other people are probably trying to see it as well. So you kind of have to go into each place with your materials almost basically ready to sign, like on the dotted line, if you want the place, because it's gonna just go to someone else if you don't. I actually saw this one apartment here in the city this time around when I was moving in June, or I saw it in May, I'm pretty sure. It was like a month before. I saw this one place and it was perfect, guys. It was a one bedroom. It was like in the greatest area. It was new, updated appliances, everything. I think there was also a washer and dryer, which like is just unreal in New York, like in unit washer and dryer. And of course I like wasn't quite sure about it. Like I was like, I love it, but like I need to call my parents. I need to like talk. Parents and my friends. I had to send people pictures, whatever. I like, you know, had like a few hours where I was just like weighing in on like what I thought about it with my various people that I was texting. And I texted my agent and I was like, I'm like definitely gonna make an offer on it. And he's like, oh darn, someone else just submitted an offer. Like, you're welcome to still submit one, but just so you know, like in the past hour, someone else like applied for it. And of course I still applied, but they got it. So I had to look at another place, which is where I'm sitting right now. Luckily I ended up getting this place, which I think is so important that I got this place, because I don't know how I would have created all the stuff I create in a one bedroom that small. This place is actually, I mean, it's probably smaller, honestly, this apartment, but it has better layout for me creating things and just like laying on the floor, like taking pictures and whatever, the things I do. So yeah, but I had to basically come into this place, and I was still with the same agent as the previous, and I learned my lesson this time. I like came in and I had everything in a folder, like ready to give him if I wanted it, like had a blank check and everything ready. And I come in here, and obviously at first I was like, I don't know about this place, it's like outdated a little bit, like, you know, but there wasn't anything super glaringly bad, but I wasn't sure. I needed to like picture all my stuff in it. But what I did was, so I was with the agent, and he said that there was someone else that was looking at it, because I was like, okay, give me, spill the tea, like who else is looking at this place, how much time do I realistically have to make an offer on this place? And he was like, well, there's one other person I was going to show it to in an hour, and they're actually pretty serious about it. And I was like, okay, so if I tell you in the next 30 minutes if I want this place, will you not show it to them, or will you just like, you know, prioritize my bid or whatever, I don't know what you call it, like offer, no, application, that's it, application. And he was like, okay, like fine. He wasn't like not gonna have it at first, and I was like, no way, I need 30 minutes just to call my parents and text like at least one of my friends just to make sure, because I always need like another opinion. Living alone, it's like I need someone else to like weigh in a little bit at least. So I booked it downstairs. I went to Starbucks, the NYU Starbucks, like around like two blocks away from here, three blocks, maybe four, I don't know, it's like kind of close. And I like sat in there because I had my laptop and I needed like Wi-Fi to like connect to the server or something to like get some document. I don't really remember, but I just needed to be at Starbucks. I know that. And so I'm literally, there was no seats. I'm standing in Starbucks with my laptop open, calling my parents in one ear. And basically I decided after talking to my parents for like 5 minutes, I like booked it back to this apartment, and I was like, okay, I'm like breathless at this point. It's also summertime, so I'm sweating, and I'm like, I'll take it. So yeah, I don't know why I just like launched into this tangent, but like sometimes you do have to act fast, but for a lot of different various things in your life, you have time to like cool off and decide and choose and think rationally. That story totally didn't relate, but I thought it was a nice story. I think the theme of this episode is just little stories that I wanted to throw at you, and things that I've learned, things that I've done, because I feel like there's not really an easier way to learn things than to just do them. You learn by doing, and therefore you teach by doing. And so I think that sharing these stories with you kind of helps you in your life in some way, shape, or form, even if it's something small, or just bringing a smile to your face. That's what I'm here for, guys. Okay, this is super unrelated to everything I just talked about, but I read this story. I mean, hey, my pattern app told me to tell you everything I learned this month, so here I am telling you another thing, despite the fact that it's super unrelated. But it was a very powerful story, because, so basically the other day I was killing some time because I was a little early for a meeting, and so I was killing some time in Paper Source. I freaking love that place. And I was reading this one book, it's like a picture book about like the greatest women of all time or something. And I get a little nostalgic because I remember when I used to talk about a different historical person or woman every single episode, and I just kind of stopped doing that, which is sad, and I want to pick that up again. So I thought, despite the fact that this episode wasn't perfectly woven around this story, I thought I would still share it nonetheless, because it was a good little badass story to bring us into the weekend. So, okay, I'm going to read it. Little story for you guys in the grain of our storytelling theme, and then we're going to talk about it. So, great-great-granddaughter of Genghis Khan became a legend among the nomadic Mongol people as an undefeated wrestler of suitors. Katalin was also known for her impressive athleticism and horsemanship, archery, and wrestling. At the time, women in Mongolian culture were trained to participate in battles on the field. Archery on horseback was their combat style of choice. As a princess, Katalin challenged every suitor to a bet of 100 horses on a wrestling match, promising to marry the man who could defeat her. No man ever did, and it's rumored that she collected a coterie of 10,000 horses along the way. Because of her athletic talent and political savvy, her tribe believed that she was blessed by the heavens, so she rode into battle alongside her father, and they never lost. She eventually married a follower of her father's, a man of her choosing, and when her father passed on, he named her as his successor over her 14 older brothers. That's incredible. Like, we think we take on a lot in a week, you know, our normal lives, but this woman literally defeated suitors, like potential suitors, and stole all their horses, or won all their horses rather, and basically just was undefeated through life. Like, if that's not something that we should all strive to be like, maybe not undefeated per se, but just doing something a little bit outlandish and crazy and reaping the benefits of doing that, and also having, like, she had the choice to pick her own husband. I feel like that's not a thing that would happen in those times. Like, I just think this woman had so much just chutzpah. And so I just thought I would share that story with you guys, and that's how we're going to close the episode. I thought she was a good way to bring us into the weekend, of course, just knowing that we are all badasses. We have a little bit of Cutlan deep in us, all of us, and that we should not take no for an answer, because we could win some horses over it. And men are nothing compared to us in our archery. Well, my paper just fell. Archery on horseback. Can you imagine archery? I can't even do archery on like flat ground. Archery on horseback and like hitting moving targets. Oh my God. Anyway, so I digress. That is all I'm going to talk about tonight. I know this episode was all over the place. It was like up, down, all around. But I think that the stuff I talked about tonight is super relevant. And I just did what the pattern app told me to do. Share what I've learned this month. And so that I did. Okay. Oh, excuse me, sir. There's a lot of drama happening on my street right now. So it's a good chance for me to say goodbye. All right. Bye, guys. Talk to you all next week.